You're listening to the Mind Your Own Dog Business podcast. I'm your host, leading expert in dog business strategist, Kristen Lee. Guys, get ready for your journey to cutting edge marketing and sales, creating a standout kick-ass dog business brand, along with mastering your mindset that's going to smash all of those glass ceilings that have been holding you back and catapult your dog business to the next level with actionable steps you can take right away. We're going to empower you. We're going to grow you as you step into your authentic self, not only as a dog trainer, dog walker, or whatever slice of the pet industry you find yourself in, but as that badass entrepreneur. My mission is to disrupt the current norm, cut through the noise, cut through the bullshit, and empower the incredible women of the dog business industry to step into the spotlight, reclaim control, and transform not only their businesses, but their lives. It's real. It's raw, it's uncensored, and it's what this dog business industry needs. Let's do this, guys. Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to today's episode of Mind Your Own Dog Biz. And I have our favorite cicada here. And the reason why I call her a cicada is she disappears for years at a time.
Not years.
It was years.
Well, kind of. I'll fill you guys in.
She disappeared and she went underground. And now she's coming out screaming. And it's going to be loud for the next couple months. And then she's going to go seclude in her slumber for a little bit longer. And then we'll see the Maggie cicada bloom in another year.
Yes. I like that.
So welcome, everybody, today. We're going to talk about a potentially triggering topic today. And I want to just give a trigger warning and a sensitive content warning before we get into it. We're going to be talking about alcohol abuse.
And sobriety
and also trauma too. So if you are sensitive to that, just go into this with some caution and everything else that comes along with this. So yeah, I mean, I said to Maggie before we got started, I'm like, how the hell do we kick this one off? This is a topic that I actually don't want to talk about.
Well, and it's a topic that you're actually leading inside the company, ironically.
Yeah.
In a lot of ways. And it's funny because Kristen, we were kind of prepping for this and Kristen was like, you know, what are we going to talk about? And I was like, sobriety. We're just going to talk about what we've been talking about on the back end.
Yeah.
And I also appreciate the trigger warning that you gave out, but I also think the trigger warning was partially for yourself and for me.
Yeah, it is.
Right. Because
yeah,
this is, you know, we bring a lot of really good topics and content to you guys. This is probably one of the more important ones and for good reason. You know, we're not here to like chastise anybody, but we are here to kind of share some of our experiences and some points that we've really been pondering and doing our own personal work individually. And also now as a company, to kind of help move the needle for those of you guys out in the industry that, you know, recognize that you have some relationship with alcohol, but also I think there's an underlying topic that we'll probably get into over the next few months, just in terms of, you know, how we take care of ourselves.
Yeah.
If you own a business, that means that you have to be in high performance mode a lot. And, you know, there's this kind of running joke that's been in the industry since I can remember, even at like 11 years old, that, you know, oh, we take better care of our dogs.
You even mentioned that when you came into my house this morning, we saw my dog food.
Yeah. I was like, oh, well, you know, you can see who's taking care of who. Right. And we tend to have this weird badge of honor in the industry that it's like, well, my dogs are better taken care of than I am.
Yeah.
And, you know, at some point, like this is a conversation we need to have. There's a lot of topics that have popped up over the last few years around burnout and compassion fatigue, but we're not getting under the surface of that. And I guess that's really, you know, the start of getting under the surface for us today with you guys and talking about, you know, we're talking about sobriety. We're not necessarily saying like go to AA or stop drinking entirely or whatever, but like being able to do a little bit of a check on yourself of like, where are you at? What relationship do you have with drugs and alcohol? There's a heavy rate of like usage of like weed in this industry. And look, guys, we are not, we are the company that sent $1,000 to the bar to pay for people's alcohol tabs during IACP conference. And, you know, when we set up at the conference, IACP conference in Colorado back in 2019, we were the ones that had a runner to go run and get weed for people. I mean, like this, so we're not coming at this as if like we're pure of heart or something.
God, we're not.
But I think it's worth, because we've had, you know, we've been in the industry and people know us and all this stuff, I think it's worth it to kind of update you guys on where we're sitting on these kind of issues. So I have my own story to share. I kind of want to throw it back to you for a second though, Kristen, because you did take the technical lead on starting to work on yourself on this that made me recognize things. I had some of my own stuff going on. So why don't you kind of share a little
bit? So this is a really vulnerable topic for me to talk about. I don't like to be seen as I have emotions.
Kristen the robot.
Kristen the robot. And deep down, as Maggie knows and as any of our clients know, like at my fucking core, I am a little child just looking for acceptance and being a people pleaser and trying to find and prove my worth to people. And back in 2023, the fall of 2023, we were in a weird, I don't want to say it's a weird spot. We were in a weird place with clients, nothing at fault to them, with my performance with them. And then I had other things going on in my life, some other outside influences. Thankfully, Frank's been my rock on all this. And I had my birthday. It was in late November. And I drank a lot. I mean, I drank a four pack of, they're called Savvy Palomas, but they're hard hitting. They're like 18% alcohol. And I remember sitting to myself, I'm like, damn, I just downed this on my birthday. I'm fine.
Like I'm fine.
And I literally said to myself, like something in my brain clicked that night when I was like, yeah, I'm fine. I'm fine. I'm not drinking as much as Maggie. I said that to myself.
There's some truth to that.
Yeah. And something in my head that night literally said to me, it was like, no, you're actually really fucked up. And it wasn't just about the alcohol. I had some other things going on that were undiagnosed. And I started to have these little almost micro experiences of meeting with people and realizing I had some toxic relationships going on, that I was being manipulated. I was being pushed around, not pushed around, but just weird, weird situations that all came to a head one day after I met with somebody. And I'm like, whoa, something does not feel right. Something feels like super out of alignment. I was almost doing something called depersonalization or derealization. That's what my therapist actually said. They're like, yeah, you, I was like, yeah, I feel like I'm like just a shell and I'm walking around and there's a movie playing out.
Mm.
And he's like, how much are you drinking and what drugs are you taking? And I'm not, you know, I'm not shy. I like my weed. I like to smoke a spliff once in a while. I do like my edibles, but that's another story. But I was drinking a lot. And that day after I had that experience with that person, you know, I spilled my guts. And then I learned I was emotionally manipulated right after, like I had that breakthrough. I was like, something's got to change. And I'm not drinking tonight. Mm-hmm. I said, I'm not drinking tonight. Doesn't mean I'm not drinking tomorrow. Doesn't mean I'm not drinking this weekend. Doesn't mean I'm not drinking after I complete a project. Doesn't mean I'm not drinking after I fire that client. You know what I mean? And I made that decision, that conscious decision. I'm like, I'm not drinking tonight. And it started to snowball. But what really fucking freaked me out, and I'll be 100% honest, and I don't care what you think about me or judge me on this, is two nights after I stopped drinking, I was actually going through alcohol withdrawal.
Really?
Yeah. Like it wasn't intense. Like I was drinking like a fifth of vodka a day. Cause again, to me, I had a weird relationship with alcohol, but I didn't see it as problematic, but I was still drinking a four pack of these kind of seltzers that were like 15% alcohol. And because it was at first it started a habit, then it started as a ritualization, my body started to actually detox from alcohol. I couldn't sleep. I was shaky at night. Like my hands were shaky at night. I was sweating and my heart was like pounding and I'm like, holy fucking shit, Kristen, what the hell did you do yourself? And I'm also really sensitive to my relationship with alcohol is I know some of you know I'm adopted. My biological mother died a fucking alcoholic drunk to her very day. So I had a lot of things going on in my head, and then I had massive anxiety and everything else like that. So I made a commitment to myself, talked to my therapist about it. And I wasn't truthful with my therapist because I was like, I didn't see it as a problem. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? Like, I'm just having a couple of drinks at the end of the day to relax.
Yeah. I, growing up in Portland, Oregon, just to jump in really quick, I realized recently that my view of alcoholism was like, you know, homeless people on the street you know, people that are falling down drunk all the time and literally can't get through their whole day without being inebriated. And that's just, I've come to learn recently, that's just not the case.
That was my view. My view of alcoholism was my biological mother, who died back in 2015, drinking from sunup to sundown and making a fool of herself on Facebook.
Yeah. Right. Right.
You know what I mean?
It's like, that's an obvious problem. I, compared to that, clearly don't have an issue.
Yeah. And, you know, again, going back to me and Maggie, or no, Saints, we have been known to drink a case of fucking Prosecco.
This is true.
Yeah. And it's one of those things of where society, it's really interesting because like these behaviors are normalized. And again, I don't even know if I'm going to be sober tonight. I know I'm going to be sober today. I don't know if I'm going to be sober tomorrow, but I'm making the commitment today to not drink. And it was just like a massive awakening. So I was really on. So I went to my physical therapy. I have an amazing physical therapist. She also addresses a lot of pain from trauma because she believes, you know, the body, the trauma in the body thing, like that book there. And I have a lot of childhood trauma I'm working through.
Somatic memories.
Yeah. And I had this massive, just dump on her. I didn't take a dump on her. Sorry, JJ.
Emotional dump on her.
And, you know, thankfully she's got a lot of really strong boundaries. And she's like, you need to actually be honest with your mental health therapist on this. She's like, it is killing your body. She's like, I literally feel the muscles in your chest and your neck. It's like a steel fucking door. Your body is locked down. Mm-hmm. It's not open to anything. She's like, I can sit here for 2 hours and work you through. But she's like, you got some shit going on. So I went to my therapist and I was honest with him.
She's rolling her eyes.
I know. I do surface level stuff. I'm a surface level person when it comes to my emotions. And we started to have conversations and like, well, thank God you finally said something. And they're like, I can't really lead you to that breakthrough, but I figured you had some unhealthy habits. And we started talking about it. And I discovered the reason why I had such, and I have a funky fucking relationship with alcohol is because alcohol was my peace. Mm. I thought it was my peace. It turned into my peace. It lied to me and tell me it was my peace. It was my end of day relaxation. But the biggest thing was it turned off the fucking noise in my head. You know, I am neurodiverse. I might have a touch of the TISM. I have not been tested. but I have also unrelenting raging anxiety unchecked. And I had no clue. I was also diagnosed with depression. I'm like, I'm not a depressed person. Like, depressed people lay in bed all day and they're lazy and they don't have a perfect house and they don't have successful businesses. They don't have clients. They don't show up every day and do their work. And
boy, were you wrong.
It was a mask for me. So what I started to learn and what I'm still learning, because listen, I am so new in I'm not speaking from a professional standpoint at all. If you want to talk to a professional sober person, you talk to my freaking father-in-law, right? He's a fucking awesome person that Maggie talked to too.
Oh, Pete.
Shout out to Pete. But I learned that the peace I was craving was being able to shut my brain off. And it was alcohol was literally giving me peace for that night or that evening or that first 15 to 20 minutes. You know, like I remember being done with work, 5 o'clock, get my dog ready to eat, the whole ritualization of getting the dog ready for food, starting dinner and pouring that first glass. God, I can still fucking feel that dopamine hit, that craving of like, sorry if I'm triggering you with cravings right now, but that warm feeling of where,
It's permission. It's permission, like giving yourself permission to relax, not be bombarded by people. And, you know, and I'll kind of add in here too, like we've been through, and coaching is a cycle with like, with anything. Yep. And we'll cycle through sometimes accidentally having, you know, a client or two that is saying needy isn't even justification. It's they're downright abusive.
Yeah.
And you don't and you know, it's like relationships are a big part of kind of the overall conversation, whether it's relationships with people, with mm-hmm. clients, with alcohol. And I think, and this goes for me too, you know, I think clients like that, you don't always see the warning signs right away. And then you start self-medicating because those are the clients that think that they're entitled to blow up your phone after hours or over the weekends, which is exactly what was happening during those like kind of last months last year.
Yeah.
So, you know, and I'll add too, like Kristen made the decision, hey, I'm not going to drink tonight. And then the next night it was, she didn't drink. And then fast forward 3 months now and
some odd days.
And Kristen hasn't drank, and I'll let her tell you guys here in a second. 94 days.
Yep. 94 days.
94 days.
Hasn't been easy.
No. And that's the thing is it's not, you know, again, we're not talking about our initial view of like what alcoholism is or means, which is not what we identified with. And I'm saying that for myself too.
Yeah.
And to share with you guys a little bit of where I've been over the last year. And we'll probably do another podcast, kind of covering this topic in more detail. But what you guys don't know is back in July, it was July 1st of 2023. We had a few of our friends come up, meaning my husband and I, Jody and I, had some friends come up for a 4th of July party. And we had invited our friend that was a notorious, like, bad alcoholic.
Like the one you would think of when you think of alcoholics.
Yes. Yeah. The problematic alcoholic that had started his own business. He owned a company, high-end windows and door installation. And, you know, over the past 6 years since he's owned the company, his alcoholism just spiraled out of control. And during the party back in July, he spiraled and made an absolute fool out of himself. And our neighborhood party was over at a neighbor's house, which the wife that lived there happened to actually be a manager of a rehab location mm-hmm. that specialized in treating alcoholics. And so she pulled me aside and was like, your friend's got a big problem. Not only do I recognize all these warning signs, he's doing X, Y. He puked all over her property in her bathroom. It was embarrassing.
I remember at his wedding, at your wedding the year before, he fell into the bar.
Yeah. He fell over, knocked the entire bar set up over.
Old school Trailer Park Boys TV show of just falling down the stairs.
Yep.
The stuff. Yeah.
Yep. And made a complete fool out of himself, busted open his face. I mean, this is a guy that literally we couldn't do anything with him unless I packed we used to call it Alan's diaper bag. Like we literally had a diaper bag for this grown ass man. And so we had an intervention the morning after. I drug him back to my house, got him into bed, and we had other close friends of his up there. And I was like, finally, like, look, you know, I've mentioned this a year ago. He needs help. He needs help. We're doing an intervention. And we did. And that intervention led to the conversation about us as friends pulling together and sending him to rehab. And which is not cheap, by the way.
Yeah. You invested into him.
And we did. And all of us. And at the end of the intervention, the conversation, the topic came up from him. The one issue that he was concerned about, which was leading him to not want to go to rehab, was what do I do about my business? Mm-hmm. What about my business? What about my clients? And the entire friend circle stopped and looked at me. And everybody pointed at Maggie and said, Maggie will handle it for you. So being the also ever loving people pleaser, I agreed. And that started what we could have never in a million years. I never guessed what has happened since then. Yes, I agreed to sort of maintain what he had until he was out. Unfortunately, when I started taking things over and started digging in, we realized really quickly that this dude had really fucked his life up, fucked his business up. His clients were all on the way out. He owed money all over town. I mean, it was a mess, guys. And all I knew how to do is what we teach.
Yeah.
All I knew how to do is what, and this is why I want to, at some point, we're going to talk more in detail about what happened on this side of the business. But to kind of make a long story short, we really had no choice but to, I had to basically buy out his business, restructure everything. And Jody and I now own a window and door installation company. We went from half of an employee and an alcoholic to now 9 team members, 3 teams, multiple clients. We do the highest level install of, I mean, some of these doors and windows are fucking huge. Kristen's seen some pictures. I mean, it's really crazy. And I have found myself thrown into the construction world and we're thriving. That's the amazing thing is like, you know, we applied everything that we teach in dogma school and things are going really well. But to get back to the point of sobriety and relationship with alcohol and all that good stuff. So the construction world, guys, is notorious for crew members that drink and drink a lot. And so we made a conscious decision at the very beginning that we were going to be a sober company. We were going to hire people that were, you know, recovering alcoholics or had chosen sobriety. We have all these people now on and they're amazing, talented, sweet natured, like just awesome folks that we now employ that all are, their goal is to live sober lives and to be supported by a team within the industry that is unusual that actually provides that. Now back to me.
and I go fuck myself.
So all of this is happening over the last, it's been 8 months now, by the way. I talked to Alan yesterday and he's like, I got my 8 month chip. And I was like, fuck, that means we've been running this business for 8 months now.
Yep.
So his sobriety literally is in alignment for how long we've owned a business in the construction world. And the longer, the further we got into this and the more emphasis we put on sobriety within the team, the more I started having to grapple with my shit. Because how am I going to feel good about running these multiple crews in this whole company that now does work all across the state of North Carolina and have this image and I'm drinking at night?
Yeah.
I couldn't like my, I'm too honest of a person. There had an expiration. It had a definite expiration date for me.
Yeah.
That I had to kind of come back and look at this. And over the last 3 months, of course, Kristen's been sharing with me her story on the back end and every, you know, few weeks or whatever, I'd get a screenshot of like, look at how many days it's been.
Yep.
And so that's like further driving it home to myself of like, dude, you need to really start paying attention. You need to start looking at what your motivation is and what you're doing and where all this started. Because I'll be honest, I didn't used to drink very much.
No, you never really did.
Yeah. I mean, I, you know, going
have
to
a beer, yeah, conferences, have a cocktail.
Yeah, I drink at conferences for sure. But like that was the majority of it. And I'd on occasion have like a cocktail or I love me some White Russians, you know, right, like right, just, I'm all about that Big Lebowski anyway. So, you know, I'd have a beer and a drink here and there occasionally, but I never, it was never a habit, never craved alcohol or anything like that. And it's now been, I've drank twice since the beginning of this year. So it's been about 30 days, but the past 60 days I've had two occasions where I've drank one. The one time I didn't actually get inebriated, which I realized after the fact, I was like, that didn't count. Like, yeah, but I still drank. So I have drank within that time period, but I pretty much have decided, you know, I decided a week and then I was like, well, if I could go a week, I can go 2 weeks. And here I am, you know, 30 days, just about 30 days later. And I'm feeling, it's not even about just feeling better. I think now I've given myself space to actually go back and check in with myself on when did this start to creep up on me?
Right.
You guys don't know this. And for those of you that have been following us for a while, you know that Chris and I used to show up pretty equally on the social medias and the stuff and the things. I, you know, was involved in a lot of videos and live streams and all these things. And I kind of fell off the face of the earth. When I realized where I really got triggered was I went through a pretty major trauma in, what was it? The beginning of 2021. my ex-husband.
But we were coming off the trauma of that whole situation with those clients
with that huge rebellion with
where we had people literally stalking and death threats.
Yes. So we went from clients sending or ex-clients. So there was a couple of ex-clients that tried to steal our business essentially from us and tried to like take over our clients. I mean, it was just,
they ramped up some really scary behavior.
Yes. And like physical stalking, like it was very scary. And that finally,
I still do, but it's
yeah. Well, hi guys. Hey. You're probably listening to this now. You're a piece of shit, by the way.
But and, I digress. I owe you money for taking up rent in your head.
No kidding.
Anyway,
but as soon as that started petering out,
yeah,
there was a situation that happened with my now ex-husband, and he literally like it started stalking me. He broke into my house multiple times. He hired, with my son around, our son, he literally hired a guy to follow me and to try to track me down. And my son refers to him as the guy with the gun. My ex-husband tried to hire somebody, and I, to this day, don't know what the intention was, whether it was to rough me up, to shoot me, I don't know.
To unalive you, yeah.
To unalive me, probably more is like it. So I went through a period of time where I was scared to death. I uprooted my life. I moved into a apartment that I did.
Part two of the story.
So my ex-husband tries to kill me. I get the fuck out of Dodge. And this is very traumatic. I move into a place that I did not know was called a brownfield site. And it was not disclosed to me.
Super fun site.
Super fun site that it was literally my apartment was on the ground floor of a heavily contaminated area in an old warehouse where I didn't realize it. But there's an issue called vapor penetration where I had chemicals like trichloroethylene, arsenic, I mean, poly, whatever all of these chemicals were leaching up into my apartment, getting trapped. And we were being exposed to some really serious.
You guys were sick.
And yeah. We were sick. I got to the point where I was slurring my words.
Yeah.
Like, and this wasn't even from drinking. This was just straight up. We were like dying and we didn't know why. And it took a long time to figure out what was happening and to get out and then to get better. And so this has been my life for the last 3 years, like trauma after trauma after trauma, and just barely managing to keep my head above surface. And so in this time period is really when drinking more started creeping up on me. And I didn't even really realize what the root was until I stopped, especially the last month, and have gone back to really caring for my body and back to, you know, very high quality nutrition, intermittent fast, and just doing all these things to just kind of clear my mind and my body. And I've been having these not even slow progressing, but really quick progressing kind of breakthroughs.
Yeah.
Because now all of a sudden I'm giving
all my breakthroughs.
I know. Kristen's got her multiple whiteboards with just like
breakthrough after breakthroughs.
Yeah. And this is where we wanted to start to have this conversation with you guys, because it wasn't until we gave ourselves permission to take a break from things that were obviously masking other behaviors and then start to do that inner work. And then we're now saying like, oh my God, like what the fuck were we waiting for?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the things that are now happening and moving forward and all of this stuff has just been incredible. I mean, this isn't a plug for the new course that we just started running like what yesterday.
Yeah.
So we've got a new 8-week course up and running that we're really excited about because we have given ourselves a chance to step back, take better care of ourselves. And then we had all these breakthroughs about, oh my God, you know, the people in the industry right now, like they're different. They need different things. They're coming from different places. Yeah. Like this is what they need. And we like refurbished one of our entry-level courses and we're so fucking proud and excited because now like we have even more defined space to take care of like who's important in our business, which is you guys.
Yeah.
And so that's why we wanted to share it, because it's not just like, hey, look at us. We're doing better. It's, hey, look at us taking better care of you guys.
Yeah.
And we want you guys to have the same for your clients. At the end of the day, like my goal and all of the work that I do in grassroots, yes, is to help you guys take better care of yourselves, but really ultimately is the trickle down effect of all of your clients.
Yeah.
That's the dogs, the people that are connected to those families, like there's a huge trickle down effect. And when you're blocking yourself from from just whatever it is, there, it's like everybody gets cock blocked.
Yes. Yeah. Well, it's funny because like when I was in that place with just everything in my life, like in late fall of 2023, I keep going back and forth the dates. Like there was a point of where I'm like, I'm done with this industry. I even said that to you a few times. I'm like, I don't like these people anymore. And that's not, that wasn't me talking. That wasn't me talking.
Yeah. Well, and it was like, we didn't like how we were being treated by very specific people.
Exactly.
But the thing is like when you're not self-caring for yourself, right, you actually become the bad version of selfish.
Exactly. And I was like, people don't deserve us. I'm done. I'm walking. I don't need this. And you can actually see like how the not deprecation, but like how we just started going even more quiet. Like we did it in the beginning, we did it purposely because a lot of people were ripping off our shit and everything like that.
Yeah.
But like, you can actually see it like how we showed up and like, yeah, even like in our personal fucking Facebook shit too.
Yeah.
And I said the episode before this, it's with Ashley and it's talking about, you know, creating creating client compliance. And I was, and you know, with Ashley, you know, I had a conversation. We were talking about Ashley. Ashley's actually working with us now. And I remember on the phone with Ashley, I think it was like in November or something. And I was like, Ashley, I'm like, I need help creating because I don't want to talk to these people right now. And she says to me, she's like, oh my God, I love people though. I love the dog trainers in this industry.
Yeah.
And that was also a thing like, Kristen, what the fuck are you doing? You know what I mean? And it wasn't anything against any of you that are listening. Don't weaponize that against me. But it was, I was in such a dark, gross place with myself.
How you guys feel though, when dogs, you know, I love the dogs, but I hate the owners. And it's like,
yeah,
what are you doing to feed into that then? And nobody wants to be told, like we, you know, you could have had somebody come and try to tell Kristen or myself before we were ready to hear it that like, hey, you're burned out because of your own decisions. And we'd be like, no, but they do blah, blah, blah.
No, but like, they're asking me to do this. No, they suck. They're not following my directions. They're not coachable.
Yeah. Right. And it's like, okay, but how are we keeping tabs on creating a healthy environment within ourselves to then know how to navigate some of those challenges? Cause all that is challenging conversations you have to learn to have. Yeah. To have with clients and not being burned out by it. And then knowing, like we had an instance 2 days ago with a new student that we knew that it was not us being reactive to this person, but this person was just literally showing signs of that problematic behavior that made us go, you're not right for us to bring into our company right now. And we didn't wait to let him cause problems so that we could beat up on him. That person, I already said he, whatever. Hi. Mm-hmm. You know, if anything, my feedback to the team was, I think we knew intuitively that he wasn't a good fit and should have probably said no earlier instead of waiting. But like, we're in this cycle where it's like, we're really trying to hold space and keep an open mind because we do care about helping people. We do care about the quality of work that comes from the top down. And I know you guys care about that too, but you know, when we're in an industry that doesn't have these conversations, I'll tell you another thing, not even about our industry, about our world. We don't have a lot of people that are talking about, you know, how awesome sobriety is. It was scary to me because I was like, am I going to feel alone? Am I going to feel like people judge me? It's me not drinking means that like, I'm admitting that I was some like full blown alcoholic. Same. I don't feel like I am. I'm just trying to make healthier decisions.
Right.
But like, what does that look like when I'm trying to go out and see people and do stuff? What I have since discovered in a very short amount of time is the people that I really have enjoyed in the past that I thought of as being like people that drink consistently. And if I want to hang out with that person, I also have to be drinking. I know a lot of people that are now choosing not to drink.
Yeah.
I actually, the person that I bought the Elite Windor business from, the owner now goes to AA, and I was sharing my kind of reconciliation with the use of alcohol with him a couple of weeks ago. And he invited me to an AA meeting and I was like, fuck it, I'll go.
Yeah.
And I walked in and my favorite bar, the tavern, actually where Jody and I met 12 years ago, the owner of our favorite hangout bar in Hillsboro was literally at that meeting. he handed me my first chip.
Your surrender chip, right?
Yeah. And it was like, holy shit. Like my, and then the other people that I know from that space that I used to think of as like, oh, well, I can only be around that person if, you know, we're drinking or something. There's so many people that are actually starting to lean into this.
Yeah.
And, you know, and again, like I'm with Kristen, I think I'm at the point where it's like, I'm not going to drink today. Maybe I will tomorrow or a week. I don't know.
Yeah.
But not doing it today.
I'm doing it either.
And so, you know, being able to know that like, oh, there's actually way larger of a social movement and undercurrent.
Yeah.
And also I'm like, oh yeah. Like I don't have to go to bar. Why don't I go to the rock climbing gym at 8 o'clock at night? Like that's also perfectly acceptable. And that sounds like fun because I miss doing those things.
Right.
So it's like, what am I actually missing out on by filling up my time in the evening, trying to convince myself that this is how, and I'm doing air quotes here, this is how I need to end my day. Yeah. This is how I can unplug and, you know, and unwind.
Yeah.
But what does it do for us the next morning? We just feel like garbage.
And what happened? So very, very, very similar thing. It's like, what am I missing out on at night? I'm missing out on quote unquote relaxation, relaxing peace or whatever. You know what my fucking night is now that I absolutely fucking love? I'm done with work, usually around 5:30. I come downstairs. I do my normal routine. I have my Topo Chico, even though Maggie yells at me just to drink water. I am. And I go to bed at 9:30 and I forgot how good it feels to go to bed sober.
And you wake up feeling amazing.
6:30. I'm up every morning. 6:30 every morning. I'm doing my savers, silence, affirmation, visualization, exercise, read, and scribe. Right. That's from the 5-minute miracle morning from Elrod. I know you're all going to go out and buy his book. Go do it. It's a great book. But now it's like that, the piece that I quote unquote gave up at night by having that 15 minute of warmth and rush gave me an hour and a half or 2 hours back in my morning that I'm able to create content for you. Like this podcast right now, the podcast you guys have been listening to.
Yeah.
That I was able to have the realization of, holy crap, there is an amazing section of new business owners coming in that you all been like looking for that we've never essentially quote unquote seen in the industry right now.
Yeah.
And that's the piece. That's the gift. I get to give back and I get to give back into it. And I'm able to receive this.
It's, you know, that's a really good point. Cause that's how I feel too lately. It's like, it's been a reminder that, you know, yeah, we've been in the industry a long time. I've been a business consultant for dog trainers 20 years now.
Yeah.
20 years.
Yeah.
And it's a humble reminder that I am but a lowly servant to you guys. My job isn't to be this, you know, ego ridden. I know everything. I mean, I do know a lot and we are really good at what we
do.
There's no denying that. But at the end of the day, it doesn't matter how much stuff we know.
Yeah.
Our worth is in serving you guys from a level of getting exactly what you need when you need it and not coming at you. You have to do more. You have to fill up
your schedule of 15 boarding trains a month.
Yeah. And it's like, well, I know all these. And it's like, nobody wants to be told like all the shit that somebody else knows.
Yeah.
It's like, if you need help, you need help. You need somebody that can be humble to be in service, to just, just be there with you on that journey and make it about you. And I think taking better care of ourselves the right way.
Right.
Is the way to do that. And that goes down to you guys too, taking yourself care of yourselves in a way that's actually really impactful to the betterment of your mind, body, spirit is gonna help you, but it's also going to naturally get you back in alignment with the people that you're supposed to be helping. I would say, out of all this talking in the industry about, you know, compassion fatigue and burnout and all these things, if you are struggling with any of those symptoms, you look at what is your self-care behind the scenes? Truly.
Yeah.
Are you eating well? Are you poisoning your body with shit? I'm still smoking. That's the next thing on my chopping block.
Yep.
Are you doing things to excess? I want to share before we wrap up, we have to share. This is a big reason why I was like, we got to do this podcast.
Okay. Yeah.
And I'm surprised we didn't lead with this, but
I know who you're talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
let's not use a name though.
No, I agree.
You're super productive.
All right. I'm like on her rocky chair. I'm going to stand up for this.
It's one of those backless.
It's nice. I like it.
Backless chairs.
Feels good in my butt. So Kristen and I were having a conversation the other morning talking about all this, like we were really starting to kind of bring all this together just for ourselves on the back end. And, you know, hey, wow, this is really starting to be great for us working and being efficient. And, you know, we're both feeling better and all these things. And we had a very, very clear conversation about, man, we're really glad we're doing this. I'm really thankful to Kristen that she, you know, kind of set the pace for that. And there was no pressure from her for me to change, but, you know, that I was open enough to be like, oh, you know, the writing's on the wall. And now we're in this space where it's like, we've both are just starting to feel better. And we had a conversation about what if this hadn't happened? We could have been running ourselves into the ground, into, you know, early disease, into heart attacks and all these things. Not 3 hours later. It wasn't even 3 hours later, 4 hours. I don't even know. It was within a matter of a very short amount of time. That same day, we got word that a very close friend of ours that we talked to on a daily basis, yeah, behind the scenes, had a massive stroke, yeah, and is in the hospital.
Who's my age?
She just turned 41.
Yeah.
She just turned 41, guys. You know, we were apprehensive for our own selfish reasons to have this conversation. Because, yes, it's like, what are people going to think? We don't even know if we have the language to like talk through.
We're not experts.
Yeah. But I felt like this conversation needed to happen because what the fuck, guys? What the fuck? Like and also, you know, one of the things that I've come across a lot in reading and also going to a couple AA meetings, not taking care of ourselves properly is usually rooted in some kind of trauma.
It is. Absolutely. 100%. And a lot of people in this industry come, yes, into this industry because of trauma.
Because we connect with animals because of our childhood trauma.
Right.
So I think that, and you know, and I've said this for years when it comes to burnout, blah, 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 blah. We've had the conversation with you guys before that dog professionals are predisposed to autoimmune dysfunction.
Right.
A whole bunch of different types. Like, chances are, if you're listening to this, you're like, oh my God, I have autoimmune and or ADHD symptoms, ADD symptoms.
And autism.
And the tisms. And to note, a lot of those symptoms are also applicable as symptoms to trauma response. Mm-hmm. So it's like, do we really have ADD that bad in this industry, or is a good portion of that simply caused by our childhood experiences?
Yeah. All our neuropathways are fucked up.
Yep.
Yeah.
Which means that our bodies are predisposed to certain things like autoimmune dysfunction, but also abuse of things, coffee, cigarettes, alcohol, weed, cocaine. I mean, I've been
guilty. Adderall.
Adderall. And we have seen this in ourselves. We've seen this in clients, and we are now old. And you know, I've been doing this for 20 years, guys.
Had this conversation. We need to embrace being older.
We used to call ourselves, you know, business mommies of the industry. And I think we're at a point where we're kind of having to shift into like, no, we're a little older than just the business mommies now. Yeah. I don't want to call us the business Grammys. That seems a little too much.
We're the business sages. I like that
better. Yeah. We are definitely having to step more into that role of sages, because somebody's got to do this work. Because we're having people, you know, and I guess we can say it. I can't even remember his name right now off the top of my head. The George Cockrell,
yeah,
dropped from a heart attack. He's still alive, just barely. I mean, he dropped from a heart attack on stage at IACP, and people are still not talking about this. You know, we're at risk of losing some really good people. And this next generation, the you guys that are coming up, and also, I guess, technically our generation, we are more predisposed because we came from parents that were raised partially on like processed foods, and our tolerance for this level of stress from a scientific level, y'all's tolerance is just going to be lower than the older generations, yeah, because of all these changes and the toxicity of our lives and all these things. So, you know, we're being born right now, being more predisposed to having these issues earlier on in our lives.
Right.
So, you know, we're not going to have, you guys don't have as much time to figure shit out,
yeah,
as people that are 20, 30, 40 years older than you. So I feel like we would be doing a disservice if we didn't awkwardly fumble through this conversation, even though we don't know how to do it yet.
I know. I'm never going to position myself, and I'm not an expert in sobriety. I am such a baby in sobriety. And again, I don't know if I'm going to drink tomorrow. I know. Yeah. I'm not drinking tonight.
All I know is that I've chosen to stop drinking recently.
Yeah.
I know that you've chosen to stop drinking recently. Yeah. And all I know is what we've shared with you so far. Yeah. Here's some of my breakthroughs. Here's some of the things that I've had to look at, you know, and also a reminder too, like, the business that we bought out, Elite Window, the high-end windows and doors installation, blah, blah, blah. You know, his alcoholism, he didn't drink until he started that business.
Yeah.
You know, and so this is yet another reminder. It doesn't matter. He didn't train dogs. He installed windows and doors. But being a business owner is being a business owner is being a business owner.
Mm-hmm.
You take on roles and responsibilities that are scary and new. And when you don't have the right support, the right help, it can snowball and create a lot of issues that you don't even realize are happening. Yeah. Until it's too late. And that's how he became that's how he started drinking.
Yeah.
And then became an alcoholic.
You know, I also want to say too, like, it doesn't allude us to the fact that we've also fostered unhealthy relationships with our clients and like substances.
Yeah, no, for sure. And that's one thing that I do want to, I'm guilty of that.
Oh, hell yeah.
You know, I'll run retreats where it's like, I'm the one pouring shots.
Yep.
Like, and those have been some really fucking fun retreats too. Like, I remember one, it's like everybody was hammered and then we passed out mushroom tea and it was a night to remember. But it's like, I think we're beyond that.
Yeah.
I don't want to do that anymore. No. I don't want to support those baseline habits and foundations. Yeah. I'm like, okay, we kind of know better now.
Yeah.
You know, because alcohol and addictions are fucking, they're a bitch, man. They'll sneak up on you. And if you're listening to this, you're like, I don't really drink. You could have a bad relationship with sugar addiction.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. With carbohydrates. There's so many things that will get your body off balance. And, you know, I think eventually we can dig into more stuff around that, like the gut brain connection. Yeah. Where you might have like bacteria. Most of us have imbalance of bacteria. I don't know if you guys know, but those bacteria send off signals that go right up to your brain to tell your brain what kind of food to crave and to eat. And so that could be literally feeding stuff that is destroying your immune system and your mitochondria and your cells and, you know, causing cancer or, you know, heart issues, strokes. Like, what the fuck? Our friend had a goddamn stroke. I'm not okay with this.
No, I'm not.
I'm sure she's not okay with this either, but like,
give them hell. I know you're listening to this.
We love you. We love you.
Mariachi band's going to come soon. I know. And a big old peen.
Yeah. anyway, I, if you're still listening to this, I just want to thank you for giving us the space to kind of fumble process through this and process and get this off of our chest, because this has been a huge topic behind the scenes.
It is.
I didn't feel right about not bringing you guys into the loop a little bit.
God, Maggie, isn't this podcast supposed to be telling me how to grow my business and market my business?
Yeah. If you don't want to die, if you're alive, you've got a pretty much of a better chance to grow your business and take care of your business.
Well, it's really interesting. And I'm going to wrap this up really quickly. So like I said, this is not a plug for anything. I don't care if you buy shit from us or not. Just listen to this episode and take what you want from it. And yesterday we had our first live class. And I had the realization right before the class, because I had my time in the morning to sit and think about, okay, we're going into week one. It's about business finances. Where do people get fucking tripped up before? As I'm always like, take a non-emotional viewpoint toward your finances. Just go to it. I'm like, no, we actually have to take an emotional look at it.
Yeah.
And I sat down with Ashley and we actually talked about the mindset of finances and a lot of the trauma we have around finances and a lot of the business owners that we can give you the outer tools of finances, reverse budgeting, financial strategy, planning, Q planning. But if we don't have that inner piece done of where it's a process like healing and sobriety, healing and trauma,
yeah,
none of the shit's going to make sense. And you're just going to push through.
Yeah.
And the whole conversation with the new people. And I think it went over well. I personally think it went over well. I might be just stroking my own dick on that one, but it was like, oh my God, I never realized that one time when my parents had a fight about finances and my mom was crying, that put into a conditioning in my head that I need to be scared around money. I need to be scared around the value of money.
Or being told constantly, we can't afford that. We can't afford. My mom growing up used to, you know, I'd be like, ooh, I want to try this fruit or this vegetable. We can't afford that.
Yeah.
And it's like, she would constantly tell me we couldn't afford good nutritional food, but we could afford to go going out to eat, or we could afford, she could afford to buy shit that was on sale just because it was on sale. That stuff that meant nothing to our quality.
Right.
So it's like, you know, I had to learn a lot over the years that it's okay to spend money on my health. It's okay to spend money on good quality food.
Right.
Learning what good quality food actually was a whole different discussion. But yeah, I mean, we all have belief systems around. And I think a lot of us in this industry, not all of us, but I think a good portion of us do come from financially unstable families. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of fear that happens around finances, because also we're taught as a society not to talk about it.
Yep. Yep. That's exactly what you were talking about yesterday.
Yeah. And that's not okay. It's like we're taught in society not to talk about religion, politics, and money. Mm-hmm. Yet those three areas are the most important from a core value, moral, and ethics standpoint. Why the fuck don't we talk about it?
Just like we didn't want to talk about this.
Yeah, right. Because it's scary. It's like, oh, but this is happening.
Oh my God, they're going to think we were raging alcoholics. Let them.
Yeah. All right. Well, you know,
I guess I'm gonna fuck myself.
We're just being vulnerable because, you know, if what we've gone through can help somebody else, I think it's worth.
Yeah. And I wanted to bring that financial mindset up, not to like hawk anything or anything like that, but it was like, if I went into that class yesterday just to show up to do my job, I would have sat through the hour saying, okay, this is how you figure your money out. This is how you go to the bank and do this. This is why you need to get an LLC. This is how you get an LLC. This is the thing. This is how you start to get a Duns & Bradstreet. I would have just phoned it in and people would have been like, okay, cool. But when I was like, wait, we all have a certain rotten root. And it all comes back into how we show up in our business and all the conditioning that we had. And it was like one of the people on the call was like, oh my God, I grew up broke and I wanted to prove to everybody that I could be successful, but I'm never able to keep money.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And that's the thing. If you grow up broke, you will unconsciously get rid of money quicker than it's coming in.
And she had that breakthrough. She's like, this is why my other businesses failed.
Yeah.
And she was like, holy crap.
Yeah.
This is worth this whole thing. If I get anything, she literally said, I didn't get anything from this class. It was that.
That was the first 20 minutes of an 8-week course. That's awesome though.
But yeah. And that's the thing. It's like, but if I didn't do the, and this is what Maggie said, we are lowly people that are showing up for you. If I didn't do that work, if I went to bed drunk last night, that night before, and I just begrudgingly showed up at 11 a.m. rolling out of bed, I wouldn't have had that own breakthrough around that morning. So I had to look at that.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, holy crap. And if it only applied to that one person, my fucking job's done.
Yeah. And I think that that's where we roll back to, like, you know, we're not just talking about, hey, ourselves. And if you take better care of yourself, that's good. Because we know.
How's she going to show up in her business now?
Yeah. Right. Right. Well, and you know, it's so funny because it's like, even then it's like, I think a lot of us, we were having this conversation too. I think this could be a whole different topic for the podcast. The idea we have predominantly really strong empaths from childhood trauma. And then we've got 10, 15, maybe 20% of people in the industry that are just fucking terrible, hardcore
narcissists/dark empaths.
I like that term that you used. And
unhealed dark empath. You could be a dark empath, but not be a narcissist.
Gotcha. Well, see, this is what I mean. I'm like, I want to know more about this topic because the majority of us are like, ooh, if I take better care of myself, I could better serve others. Right. And for me, that actually is weirdly like a motivating factor because I'm like, I want to take good care of you guys. I want to be the best version of myself because I know it helps other people.
Yeah.
You know, but I think that's the empath's kind of journey. And I think some of you guys are really going to connect to that. It's like, oh my God, I could better serve my clients by really starting to look at some of these other things that I'm doing or holding on to that probably aren't serving me the way that I've convinced myself that they're serving me. Same thing with like money, you know, finances, it's all budgeting emotions, budgeting time, budgeting money, how we look at all of those and energy. It's all actually really similar. you know, how we budget, all of those things. So anyway, some really good kind of subtopics popped up.
Last thing too about that, going back to budgeting, like I'm the type of person that would, that no matter what, this is just my upbringing. I will not be a stranger. I will own my privilege growing up. I will own my privilege. I had a horse. I had college paid for.
But you were adopted and you were a crack baby. That literally constitutes having early childhood trauma.
Yes, yes. But
so just FYI.
I want to say this about that. Like, I grew up in a place where my needs were always met. I wanted for nothing. I was a spoiled fucking brat. Like, I will admit that completely.
Were your emotional needs met?
No. However, I totally forgot what I was going to say about this. Oh, about I had to have that. And so, like, when I don't have enough, I freak out. I could have a certain amount of money in my bank account. Maggie's seen it. I spiral. Mm-hmm. I absolutely spiral. And there's been situations, I'm not saying anything in particular, but there's been situations where if 2023 Kristen was in the place that 2024 Kristen was in, oh God, I'm like, I probably would have had horrific panic attacks. I think I was having heart attacks around.
Yeah.
Because of just situations that we've been forced to look at in the last couple months.
I didn't realize that my drinking and my usage of stuff was such a pure form of a weak attempt to control.
Yes.
It's exactly. Nothing, it's the control button. And I didn't know, even sitting here talking with you, the more I'm like, oh my fucking God.
It's a control thing.
It is such a control thing. Because what I've now found since I let that go is, and we talked about this, all of a sudden it's like, we're struggling to just get shit done. Why isn't anything working? And
oh my God, we should have had that ad. Oh my God, we should be doing this. Look at my board. I have all these things to do.
And then I do them and nothing, the needle doesn't change. Like, what the fuck? And then all of a sudden you do this work, you don't even really realize you're doing it. And everything just started coming together. Like, we're not pushing nearly as hard. We're not exhausted. We're not getting to the end of our day going, I have to have this cutoff point because I'm exhausted and fuck the world.
Give me a joint and a fucking drink.
Yeah. Like, you know, let me have my control cutoff point because I'm exhausted and I need a way to justify doing this shit.
Yeah.
Now everything is just happening so much smoother without even trying.
Yeah.
Like, you know, even like worried about finding, because you know, we've dumped a lot into this window and door thing to get it up and running. And you know, I have so many lessons I want to share with you guys just around. I've been through an entire lifetime cycle of what you guys experience in 8 months all over again with this window and door company. And as soon as I let go of all that need to control and you know, knowing all these things, all of this stuff, and I've stopped drinking, all of a sudden things just keep coming in. Like, I had money hit the account on the drive over here that wasn't meant to be there. Like, mm-hmm. It's like things just start happening without forcing it. And I don't, from a spiritual level, I'm never going to understand it. I don't know why. And we've coached around this before, where it's like, if you're not in survival mode, and you finally just take a deep breath, realign yourself, things just start to happen. Like, you fire the shitty client and then three more people.
It happened the other day for us.
Yeah. Yeah. You're like, dude, you're not a good fit for us right now. Boom. Good fit came through the pipeline within like minutes.
Minutes.
Yeah.
Literally minutes.
So, you know, there's a spiritual element to this too, that just exists.
You know why they call alcohol spirits?
Oh, I've heard. Yeah. Go ahead.
Because it robs your spirit.
See, I've heard it's different, like, variations of that.
There's different, in different interpretations, different religions, different other cultures, the alcohol spirit actually can rob you.
Yeah. Or take over. You're taking on a different.
It takes over. So like, yeah. Like, I've shown up drunk on fucking social media. You could probably tell when I've done that. That wasn't me. That was my fucking alcohol spirit.
And I've also done that. Oop.
We're sorry if who's been personally violated by Grassroots?
Well, legitimately, I feel like there's a lot of people that are like, they gave me my money back. I don't like them. I'm like, you don't count. You can, no. Well, that's also, you know, and you guys are probably going to notice a little bit of a shift in our energy moving forward too. Like, we even talked about, you know, we don't want to be the prickly pears anymore. Like, we're just not there.
You keep talking. I want to show you a picture as you're talking.
Oh, I thought you're like, don't say that. I was like, but it's
No. I want to show you a picture as you're talking.
I think we've grown above and beyond. Is it the salt one?
No. It's this one that it's so funny because I'm looking through old branding stuff and I'm like, oh my God, this is not us anymore. And I'm trying to find the picture.
We've definitely, you know, oh my God. Okay. You're absolutely right. Also, how much weight have I gained? That's fine. That's a whole different topic. Yeah. So she just pulled up this picture, guys, where we're both drinking out of our own bottles of champagne, flipping the bird. You're right. That's not us anymore. I don't like that.
Nope.
That doesn't make me feel good inside.
No, I don't like it either. And I used to love this picture.
I know. And now I'm like, what kind of people were we attracting that would like that picture?
And we oop.
And with that, guys, I think that's a fucking wrap.
All right, y'all. So we are going to actually wrap this up now and appreciate you for sticking with us for this time. It was good conversation. And I mean, there's going to be more to come on this. I mean, we'll have some, that sounded dirty.
I think this
really dirty.
No, just going to come on us. No, I think this is,
we're still there.
I think this is the first original or official podcast where we're kind of restarting, not restarting, but like,
yeah,
I think this is it, dude. We're burying a piece of us officially. I'm going to start crying. I don't want to be the person I was.
No, me either.
2 months ago.
Yeah.
I really kind of rather enjoy this, you know, this it's not even a new version. It's the version that got buried before all this shit happened.
It's the version that we created to protect ourselves in the industry and to think that we needed to be. It was a version that we were and that we overcompensated on.
Yeah.
And now it's like, wait, hold up. And that's okay. Like, you go through that yourself in your own business.
Yeah. I mean, and that's, yeah. And if you're not, that's another flag. Spot. Yeah.
And this is, listen, this is not comfortable for us. Like, we had, I know we keep saying we're going to wrap up, but I actually had to, this is a lesson I learned fucking Monday, of where we sat down with a website designer.
Oh yeah, please go ahead and share this story.
And you know, like, comfortability is, if you're fucking comfortable, no matter what, if you're comfortable making money, that means your container is fucking closed. But I'm very, very, very ego driven when it comes to branding and marketing. I mean, I wasn't the key speaker for a lot of shit because of branding and marketing. It's shit I hold to my heart. And I sat down with this website designer, sweet guy. I think I scared him though.
You did. Poor Tyler.
And he's like, listen, he's like, your brand is so immature. And I'm like, internally, I've been having this battle about the branding being updated and the brand being updated in our own identity. He challenged an old identity to me. Maggie's like, I saw all your little different ego pieces sitting at the table having a fight and strangling this dude.
Yeah. And it was funny because I, being her work wife, had to say it. I knew exactly what was going on.
And Tyler.
And so I'm like, I'm trying to like maintain this conversation, this business, you know.
Meeting. I wasn't angry at him either.
No, you weren't. But I could see what was happening inside of your head and he could sense it, but he didn't know what was going on. So I was like trying to manage, you know, three parts of this thing. And I kept saying, don't worry about it. I'm going to have a conversation with her later, blah, blah, blah. We're in, like, this is all, because everything he was saying made sense.
Yeah,
it made literally sense. Everything we've already talked about.
Yeah. And it challenged my identity that I've been knowing we need to update and I didn't know where to start. And that was just like, and that's the thing. It's like, we have to switch our identity and we're growing our own identity. And that means being comfortable and setting my ego at the side.
Yeah. And that's been a thing that's popped up a lot for me recently too. It's like, you know, it's frustrating. I'll just be honest, guys. Like, it's really fucking weird to look at the landscape right now, coming from the perspective of there was no other business coaches.
Yeah.
I was like genuinely good at what I did. There wasn't anybody like me for 15 years.
Yeah.
I mean, probably about that long. And I had professional, I mean, I have been in some pretty, I've worked with some people that, like, I just won't name drop, but you guys would be like, oh fuck. Like, you really have helped kind of direct where the industry's gone. And to like have the last 5 years or so where there's all these influencers, quote unquote, and coaches that are doing it, but that are not actually good. And that it's just really been weird.
Yeah.
And it's been really easy for my ego to attach to that stuff and be like, this doesn't feel good. I don't like this. And I've come to the realization that I think what I was missing before is I didn't like
how it was making me feel.
Yeah.
Because I wasn't getting the credit for having done so fucking much of what everybody else does and teaches and all this shit. And it's like, what about me? And it's like, this has been a giant reminder to my ego that it's not fucking about me. This is about you guys. This is about the greater good. This isn't even about, you know, Joe Schmo or those fucking 15-year-old prepubescent boys that are all of a sudden marketing to dog trainers online. Like my ego shouldn't have to be involved in that conversation. Yeah. I should be offended for you guys just because you're getting bad information and just leave it at that. Yeah. So
So anyway, this has been good and we will be talking more on this soon, I guess. Or maybe we won't. Maybe we won't be sober tomorrow. I don't know.
We'll see. I do want to go into more details on this second business though.
No, we have to talk about that. So
yeah. So because there's a lot of really good pieces for you guys. And it's been a really that whole thing has been a humbling experience because I've been in the student seat for months now. Mm-hmm. I've been in an industry where I don't know anything about fucking construction, general contracting, fucking code violation. I mean, all of this
OSHA.
Oh yeah. We do commercial jobs and like it's crazy. So, you know, it's been very scary and all I've had to rely on is my training and literally just everything we teach you guys. So I really would love to dig into that more, but not today.
All right. Well, take it easy, everybody. And yeah, we'd love to talk to you. Bye.
Bye.
Hey there. Thanks for checking out another episode of the Mind Your Own Dog Business podcast. Mind Your Own Dog Business is hosted by me, Kristen Lee, and produced by the Unicorns over at the Dog Biz School team. For more information on how to get in touch with me, for more information on Dog Biz School, or to learn more on how we can help you with your dog business, feel free to visit our website at dogbizschool.com. Now, if you really enjoy this episode, do me a favor and leave a 5-star review on Apple. The reason why? Because we want to disrupt more dog training businesses and how people do the business of dogs. Till next time, bye.